You never know who you're going to get on Gay Talk.
Jawohl!
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, an LGBT podcast streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access that live stream every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Oh, God. It's been one hell of a crazy day. It's hot and steamy and all that good stuff. My name is Tom. I'm your host, and I'm always here with my amazing co-host, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And
good to be back with you guys for the time being. It's Chris.
What? And welcome you all to
The Dish.
All right. So before we keep going, we do have a special guest with us. Well, really, it's a really dear friend of mine who was in town. And so we were like, bitch, you're getting on the show and you're just going to chit chat with us. So our friend Jay is over here digging through our Gay Talk book. Hi, Jay.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, welcome to the show. So Jay and I have been friends for many, many, many years. I call him Jay Bear, and he's super cool. So this is the first time that he sat with us here on the show, and we're happy to have you. So thank you for joining us.
Happy to be here, a long-time listener and first-time visit.
Were you also born in the 40s?
Maybe. Oh, she sounds so straight.
You're such a dick.
So anyway, I want to address the elephant in the room. You said for the time being?
Oh, yeah. No, it's a joke. I'm not going anywhere. I'm actually back here full time.
I was like,
wait, it was just a joke. What? No, I'm here. Y'all
all right,
got me
so
now.
We can already turn his mic off.
So I can't figure out which one you are. Hold on.
Is any number four? This is off to a great start. You can tell that I'm back.
Yeah, no, seriously, it's been a ride. So we're down headsets, and we realized that right as we were about to start. So that was the late start today.
Mm, that's right. So, you know, it's always fun, and we're trying to get through it. It's super hot outside and muddy. So if you're in the Northeast, right now the Lord sat his ass crack on Earth, and things are boiling. Like, you can literally take eggs outside.
Yeah, it's a Lord with a D, a T, excuse me, with a T, with a T.
The Lord.
And we have nice quality cameras, so you could see them beads of sweat pouring off her forehead.
Oh, fuck her.
That was from running around before the show started. Yeah.
And at the end of the day, it's always Trisha's fault.
So. Yeah, no,
true. And so, you know, and you go outside and you crack eggs open and throw them on all that rock and stuff that I have on the outside of the side of my house, and the egg would probably fry.
But it's that hot that you wouldn't even be able to crack the egg to fry because it was already like hard boiled by the time you got to where to crack it.
Yes. Pretty
that's
much
how hot it is right now.
It's like, oh my God.
It hit triple digits. Not okay. Not okay.
So, but anyway, welcome. Here we are. It's Monday. We're literally in the middle of July. Summer is flying, right? Time flies when you're on Prozac. I always say that.
Are you on Prozac?
Not right now.
So time is like going at it, you know, a modest rate for her then.
Well, no, it's like you come off the high and you realize you're already in September.
Well, let's deal with August first. It's, but, you know, months are hard.
August is the best month of the year.
The best month ever.
The best month of the year.
So there was somebody at my door. I guess not.
No, that was me.
That was you. I was like, oh my God, there's an old lady at my door. I'm going to fuck with her right now on the show and be like, hey.
You're on Gay Talk.
So there's a lot of things that are going on. Aside from the heat wave that we're currently experiencing, there's a lot of stuff that is happening in the news.
Someone said they can't hear anything.
Who?
Someone said they can't hear anything.
They can't hear anything.
Well, I wonder if Tom pressed record.
Probably not. I mean, it's typically Trisha's fault, but that doesn't take the intern off the burner.
Okay, so let's take a look here. I will fix it. Here
so, Chris, go. What have you been up to?
Yeah, no, I definitely want to talk about that, but I wanted to talk about this CNN message I just got, a tweet from the president, talking about wearing masks.
Oh, Lord.
So I'm just going to go ahead and read his tweet. He says, We are united in our effort to defeat the invisible China virus.
I fixed it.
And many people say that it is patriotic to wear a face mask when you can't socially distance. There is nobody more patriotic than me, your favorite president.
That asshole refused to wear a mask for
and
like
now
years.
He has a picture of him wearing a mask.
Can he stop calling it the China disease?
I know. Well, Why doesn't he like make like the Brazilian president and get his COVID on? Like maybe he'll learn something from there. But anywho, you know, that
I secretly hope that he gets it.
I mean,
so
we're
that
being
he can get it.
I mean, it's not very secret anymore.
Yeah, right. I was like, hello. If you think about it, we're being compared to Brazil. We're being compared to Colombia. Americans are not allowed to travel to Europe, but Somalians
we can't are. Travel to 272 countries as it stands
And they're extending the border closure between the U.S. and Canada, and I have a trip booked there.
Meanwhile, we have governors that won't actually do anything or shut down their states or mm-hmm. require people to wear masks. So, I mean, you know.
Florida. Exactly. Thank
hashtag,
you.
Texas.
They're taking the lead from the goddamn president.
Yeah, exactly. DeSantis, ugh, I hate him. He's gross. Anyway, so yeah, I had a great weekend, Trish. Thank you for asking. I'm very happy to say to our listeners that one of our, obviously, you guys know her as my mama, my muse, my spirit animal. She's been on the show a number of times. Liz, it is her birthday today. She's celebrating 31.
Aww. Oh, she's
happy
so
birthday,
young.
Mom.
Happy birthday, mama bear.
Yeah, and yesterday we went on a nice excursion on the Farmington River.
I heard you tripped over a rock in the water.
I was graceful AF in that water. When we got stuck.
Not you, mama.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course she did. She always falls. She always
falls.
Well,
happy fucking birthday.
Yeah, right? I was like, I navigated us. I avoided a beaver dam. Like, we were super good. It was so much fun. The water was beautiful.
Wait, was that metaphorical, or did you actually, like, avoid a beaver dam?
No, we're not talking about, a snatch. No, okay. I avoided a dam created by beavers. It was okay. An actual beaver dam.
I just wanted to clarify that, because, yes, you know, yes. We are a gay show, and we use a lot of, like, gay slang, and beaver dam is one of them, and so, you know.
Yes, no, I avoid those on the reg, but we avoided a traditional beaver dam.
Okay, a real one.
Yes, exactly. It was like phalanxes coming out, and, like, I was afraid we were going to get impaled, but yeah. I navigated around it, and then we continued on our Lazy Man River for about 4 hours. It was
so
a great time.
I have to tell you, though, your tubes didn't look that, how would I say, sustainable. Not sustainable, but they didn't look that, like
strong?
Strong.
Those are river tubes. They have
they look like tubes that belong in a pool.
No, they have a very thick plastic, a thick rubber underneath the bottom, just like ones that are used to go sledding in,
like
snow.
My ass right now, yeah, in the midst, yeah, of COVID.
I'm
yes.
sure, yes. But and then they had nice mesh underneath your booty hole, so you got some water coming in, because mm-hmm. God knows it was hot yesterday.
Did
but
you
no,
hit a
but
rock?
These, oh, a couple times. But then, that's when you just lift the booty up and you're good. Because like sometimes it was like four inches.
Have you ever been river tubing?
No, I've done kayaking. I've done whitewater rafting, but I've never done tubing.
Oh, it's so fantastic.
You're literally sitting in an inner tube in a little donut
well,
with your
ass. Well, I mean, I know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to explain it to me. I get it.
So as
well, there's mesh on the
down.
Bottom, so my ass isn't hanging out. Like, there's mesh to hold you up.
Tom makes it sound like you're sitting on a hemorrhoid donut.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's not
one
exactly
of them. That's exactly
what it is. It's not one of them. We were prepared, but not with Prep H. Like, we were ready to go. And we were so into it. Like, my friend Caroline and I, we had a two-person tube. Mama and Scott had their own tubes. And then we had an inflatable cooler that we hooked onto us.
Of course they did.
Then we had another, a regular cooler that they make a cooler tube that you set the cooler on, and that was also attached to us.
Maybe this is what I want to do for my birthday.
Oh, it was
Let's
a fucking black. Yo,
yeah, totally.
Coming with us, we had subs. We had all of our grinders, like, to make sure we had our Sammies and stuff. We had snacks, bottles of water.
You couldn't get your Pedialyte.
I could not get my Pedialyte, but I did get vodka, so that was a good substitute. Yes, exactly. And then by the end of it, we're trying to like fight the current. There were no rapids; it was really chill and relaxed. But I'm like trying to pour. We had the bag of Twisted Tea, and I'm trying to like give Mama some. But at that point, it's just all over her face; it's pouring down her titties and everything.
So, how long did this take?
About 4 hours.
Wow!
It was a 10-minute drive between where we were going to end and where we'd begin, but the river ride took about 4 hours.
I want to do
it. It was amazing.
Let's do
that
it.
That sounds like fun.
It was absolutely. And great. My ass was in the water the whole time. It was clean. Wow. It was clear.
That's what he
beautiful.
Said.
What? Did he, though?
Did he?
Perhaps.
He did.
Yes.
He did.
No, but it's fun. But it's fun. And you just literally time. Just glide down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you see fishies in the water. And
no, I wouldn't like that.
Like, some people bring joints and you smoke joints halfway down the road. Because, you know, no one's going to stop you in the middle of the river and be like, excuse me, is that a joint that you have in your
hand? Yeah,
head?
There ain't no Coast Guard on these,
bitch,
on these rivers.
Bitch, swim over here and find out. Swim over here and find out, motherfucker.
It was a good fucking workout, though. Yeah. I definitely want to do it again. It was a lot of fun.
Have you ever been tubing, Jack?
Not,
come on into it. Sorry. You're sucking dick, baby. Remember that.
Jesus.
Face to it. Sorry.
There you go.
Not up here. I've done it, but not in this area. So.
Yeah. So I've been to Satan's Kingdom. That's the name of the place up in Torrington, off of Route 8. But where did you go?
Farmington River, around Simsbury area.
Well, it's also on the Farmington River.
Yeah.
So there's several areas that do tubing, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. And where we parked one of the cars is where we were going to end. Mm-hmm. By the time we got there, there were families barbecuing. There were people just hanging out in the river.
They don't have a bus that brings you back to the area?
Well, we didn't do it through a company because everything's closed due to COVID. So we just knew the areas to where you would sail off and to where you would end. And there were other people doing it. It wasn't very crowded. You know, every now and then we would see people about a football field or so behind us or ahead of us. So we were definitely spread out. I mean, there's one group that we kind of came closer to, far enough to where we were playing frisbee with each other, but like not really around each other. So that was a lot of fun.
So basically you have to be aware of where you need to get off to be able to come back, because there's no services.
Exactly. And I mean, you can always like take an Uber, but that sounds like a $200 Uber ride. Like, you're going to put not salty, it's in fresh water, but a sandy ass tube and shit in their car. No. Mm-hmm. So you want to have one of your cars set up at the drop-off point, or where you're going to finish, and then have another car at where you're going to sail off.
See, where we go tubing, they have a service that does that for you. So I guess we would have to find out, one, if it's open.
They're not. Most of them are not, as far as we know. But it's even better. You don't need to pay anyone for it. Like, it's a river. It's all of ours.
But then you got to clean out your car.
Yeah, bring your own rubber.
There you go. Bring your own rubber. And then we don't have to clean out the car, because we're just going to put it in Trish's.
That's
fine.
That's it. You know, and or she can just jump in the river and float.
Yeah,
all the way down.
I am pretty buoyant these days.
That is true.
Yeah. Aren't we all?
Thank you, also COVID. Is true.
Lord have mercy.
I'm on that list.
So, if that's something that you want to do, I'm totally game. I'm game for it.
Yeah.
Definitely got to do
it. Sounds like a blast.
Yeah.
Get some Sammies, get some snacks, some bizzes, some Pedialyte.
No snacks.
Go. No. Snacks. No snatch.
Okay.
Good. Beaver Dam's natural, but not au natural, like naturally built.
Thank you.
Okay. The snatch can be optional. Not everybody's into just dick.
Snaptional.
Right? Oh! Don't get me started, Jay. No, don't get me started.
He makes a good point, though. He makes a good point.
So
that's right. We have to think of Jess.
And we have to think about the B in LGBTQ.
Exactly. That's right. Absolutely.
That's right.
So I just wanted to say that, by the way, we don't have a guest. We have a guest host.
Good luck, everybody.
So this is going to be a rambling, crazy show today. We're going to be talking about things that are happening, but we're also going to be interjecting about things that we're working on and sort of kind of feed off each other like we always do, and make it a fun and exciting show for all of you. So stick around, because you're going to be in for a long ride.
Oh, and we're probably going to shit on the president, too.
When you say that, I just hear, Nick, you're being lazy and you haven't booked anybody. So
no, but you know what, we
it's like
need
a break for us.
So
I like it.
So once in a blue moon, right, it's I love having guests on the show, and I love getting serious, and I love being able to see what people are doing with their lives and how they're being creative, and how that art can go out into the community and really enrich and enlighten everyone amidst all of this COVID-19 and everything that's going on, right? It's beautiful and it's amazing. But once in a blue moon, I want to have a shit show with my girls.
Absolutely.
And my boy over here, or my girl, or whatever, you know, flavor of ice cream he wants to eat today.
Cherry Garcia.
Yeah. That's his favorite,
Cherry
actually.
Garcia. Absolutely.
So, it's going to be a shit show, and you're in for the ride, and we'll get back to guests at some point. So, whenever she decides she wants to work.
Right.
Yeah.
Super busy.
I've been on a serious vacation, let's say that much.
So, we were talking about Trump earlier, and we were talking... I almost threw up in my mouth when I said that.
I threw up on the floor. It's okay.
Bitch, you're going to pick it up.
No, the carpet soaks it up.
Dogs are picking it up.
Oh,
and then they're going to kiss me. No, that was disgusting. I just literally threw up again. So we were talking about Trump earlier, and you mentioned something about mask, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that all of a sudden now it's a thing.
After months and months of him making fun of people who are wearing masks and calling out governors of states and mayors of cities who are making it mandatory to have face coverings when they're saying that it goes against our First Amendment right.
I think he got a scare. Because Trump is not one.
No, he went. What are you talking about? He went and did a freaking rally in Florida. That's why he started wearing a freaking mask.
But wasn't
when did he do a rally in Florida?
What, a week ago?
Was it Florida? No, he did a rally, in Mount Rushmore.
No, he did a ceremony in Mount Rushmore for 4th of July.
Uh-huh.
He did a rally in Arkansas, Kansas.
I could have sworn it was one of those southwestern states. I thought I could have said.
No, he did a rally in Tulsa.
Well, he did Tulsa.
He did Tulsa, and then he canceled his rally in New Hampshire due to inclement weather.
It was supposedly a tropical storm that never happened.
Well, actually, some parts of the Northeast did see some significant weather. But yeah, he's been canceling his rallies and moving to phone conferences.
Oh my God, you guys are making me go to his website right now.
It's horrible.
Ew, don't go on there.
So I the reason why I bring that back up is because the Trump administration actually released a memo internally explaining how to spot transgender women. And it is absolutely disgusting and horrible. So,
oh, you didn't hear about this?
So in the memo, so the copy of a new rules will allow homeless shelters to refuse transgender people who have been...
Ew, when he's with fucking HUD Secretary Ben Carson.
Yeah, so it was leaked to the media, and it contains instructions on how to spot transgender women to target them for discrimination. And so basically, after the rollback, which HUD... said would better accommodate religious beliefs of shelters and providers, allowed single-gendered homeless shelters to decide if they wanted housing policies based on sex assigned at birth or gender identity, effectively allowing shelters that house women to turn away transgender women and shelters that allow that house men to turn away transgender men. So that announcement meant that homeless shelters would be allowed to determine who is transgender, which possesses a significant risk for people's privacies and rights. And so according to the list, you could look for things like, for example, the Adam's apple, or for example, if they had a certain aesthetic. It was really disturbing, to say the least, as far as the list of things that people would look for in these shelters to determine whether or not someone was transgender and not allow them to come in. And I say to myself, we finally had this landmark ruling from the Supreme Court saying that, you know, gender identity and sexual identity was protected.
Under Title VII.
Right? And so under the Civil Rights Act, we are now protected. And in the midst of all of this, you're still pushing this agenda.
Right.
And it is completely asinine at this point if the Supreme Court has already said that gender identity is protected. Employers can't fire you for for being who you are.
This kind of proposal that he's putting out there is dead on arrival when it gets out there. Because one, like you said, the Bostock decision that was presided under the Supreme Court, which now defines Title VII discrimination because of sex, is including discrimination against people of the LGBTQ plus community. Mm-hmm. So this is not going to stand. One, if they try to implement that, same doing with the ban on transgender servicemen and women, that this is not going to be, it's unconstitutional.
But in one sense, in one mouthful, the Supreme Court said, yes, we're going to protect LGBTQ workers because sex is just sex and that's just how it is. And that includes gender identity and sexual identity. But in the other hand, they also had a landmark ruling for people and religion, right?
I think
I
think we need to take every thought of what the law is, what the Constitution is, and what our country is off the table. I mean, even if you look at Portland, Oregon right now, mm-hmm. You have literal federal officials driving up and taking peaceful protesters in unmarked vehicles for no reason with no badges. In unmarked vans. That is literally the epitome of a help me, what's the word?
Kidnapping?
kidnapping, yes, but no, when you have a dictatorship, that is literally
it's a fascist government.
100%. We literally have a government that is ignoring every single ruling that is coming out of the Supreme Court, and they're making these rulings, and they're important rulings that need to happen, and they are landmarks, but they're not being, you know, honored by our fucking executive branch.
That's all right, because the executive, that's the reason we have checks and balances. But
they're not working.
But it's going to, because now, when you look at, not only are these things that he's putting forward unconstitutional, but the certain amendments that they pertain to are the 5th and the 14th Amendment. The 5th Amendment...
Did you really just pull out a small constitution?
Oh, I carry a constitution with me at all times.
She's nasty.
I have a constitution. So I know the 5th Amendment is the due process clause, which acts as a safeguard for arbitrary denial of life, liberty, property, and property by the government outside the sanction of law. And then when you look at the 14th Amendment, which has to do with naturalization, all people born in the United States are U.S. citizens, but then it continues to say that no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. So these are going completely against the Constitution in regards to Title VII of the Civil Rights Act.
So let me just give you an example of what these identifying marks are. So if a homeless person appears to be too transgender for a homeless shelter, the shelter is allowed to actually ask them for proof of biological sex. Evidence requested must not be unduly intrusive of privacy, such as a private physical anatomical evidence. The rule states, barring shelters from forcing suspected transgender people to strip in front of them. Evidence requested could include government identification, but the lack of government identification cannot be the sole basis for denying admittance on the basis of sex. HUD Secretary Ben Carson criticized the equal access rule in the past, allowing big hairy, this is what he said, allowing, I quote, big hairy men, how he once referred to transgender women, to impede the rights of cisgender women who are not comfortable with the idea of being in a shelter, being in a shower with somebody who has a different anatomy, and so on, so on, so on. This really, really, this is really disturbing. In the language that's being used here, that really just makes it so much harder for people in the transgender community to really find a place in the world for themselves, right? And they've been fighting very hard over the course of many decades to get to where we are today. And this freaking administration is just, I read the story and I was infuriated with some of the stuff that's being written and described in the story about transgender men and women all over this.
As a shelter, I believe that if you're turning away people of LGBTQ community, you're a piece of shit.
Yeah,
100%.
And it is important to point out that these are federally funded shelters that they are protecting. Like anyone under the HUD administration can turn this way. Obviously, privately owned shelters such as Yasu and some of these incredible people that we've talked about on the show are not going to follow these. But it's also so important because when you look at, since COVID has struck this nation, so many people of the LGBTQ plus community have found themselves having to move back home with a family that's not supportive of themselves, predominantly and primarily people of the transgender community.
That's right.
Who have to go home and pretend that they aren't who they are because it makes their parents happier or makes them less uncomfortable. So it has truly been affecting our community. Again, especially the trans community, but COVID is hitting more than just those who are having issues breathing. Like it's really affecting our community tremendously. They were talking about this on NPR today about how the 40% of people in the LGBT community have been contemplating suicide over the fact of going home to these unsupportive families.
That's right. So J-Bear, you did a lot of work and you did a lot of social work in a lot of organizations throughout our area.
Yes.
When you start thinking about, you know, things like this coming out, like memos being sent by the administration, what are your thoughts on the impact of something like this on agencies and organizations that you've worked with in the past?
Well, I know unfortunately, a lot of the funding that they do receive sometimes does come with some federal funded monies. So I think it falls on the directors. Excuse me. I'm closer now.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Close enough. Sorry. So it falls on the directors. A lot of directors will probably ignore that, at least with the agencies I'm familiar with in the New Haven area. Honestly, personally, I think that if you follow that policy, you shouldn't be servicing people, period, whether it's LGBT or anyone else. People have their own stigmas and they have their own agendas, unfortunately, sometimes, and that may throw off some decisions that can save a life.
That's right.
And at the end of the day, is making sure that people are safe.
And when you,
that's what those places are there for.
Agreed. And when you look at the state-sanctioned discrimination, that's a slippery slope. Like, you allow at one point one demographic to be refused service because of your beliefs. It's a slippery slope. It's a snowball effect.
Exactly.
There's going to be another demographic that upsets you. There's going to be another one after that. And the next thing you know, we're looking back toward segregated America.
That's right.
Definitely.
We've talked about this on the show before. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at homeless shelters in general, there are percentage-wise way more members of the LGBTQ+ community, youth mainly,
of course,
that are homeless, yet there are not enough beds per homeless shelter to actually house those individuals and keep them safe. That's the big thing. When we say like a bed for an LGBTQ+ person, it's because mm-hmm. they need to feel safe in the environment in which they're being, you know, housed.
And
a lot of them are literally housed, or a lot of these places are religious-based homeless shelters.
Right.
And so these people are, you know, they're literally kicked out because they're gay.
Mm-hmm.
They're abused because they're gay. The percentages are overwhelming when you look at homelessness for the LGBTQ+ youth. But at the same time, there is some uplifting news, which I just found out about today. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but there is a group, and they're literally called My Sister's House.
My Sister's House.
S-I-S-T-A-H House. Yep. So they are planning to build 20 tiny homes for Black trans women near Memphis, Tennessee.
Kudos to them.
So, and they had a GoFundMe page. They raised over $200,000 for these tiny homes. And I'm sure they're still raising money. I would love to see them do more than 20 tiny homes. And we know that the trans community of color is affected way worse than the, you know, white trans community, even though they're still getting theirs. But like, there are groups out there that are trying to make a difference, and there are people that are fighting for more beds and more shelters. I mean, I remember when I did that leadership program, there was a homeless shelter that came in, and we had to pick a nonprofit to work with, and they literally, I put them to the rails. I was like, well, what does your website say for the LGBTQ+ community, for the, you know, what are you doing for homeless people? Well, we welcome everybody. I put them to the rails, and now they have a whole section on their website about supporting LGBTQ+ people because they are a faith-based organization.
It's important. It's important for you to put your foot where your mouth is. If you're saying that you're for everyone, that you're for humankind.
Actually, funny. The director of that shelter was at this past year's Dorothy Awards.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Right?
It was really great to see her.
So, and it goes to, there's a lot of organizations. Actually, I actually misrepresented a story that I had read like two or three, maybe four episodes ago, and we were talking about the state of Maryland. There was an organization, not the actual state, that was actually collecting funds to pay for transgender men and women.
We did say that. We did say it was an organization, not the state.
Yeah. Initially, when I read the story, I thought it was the state of Maryland
that
was doing
this. But we did clarify it.
But I wanted to clarify it again, that there's an organization that was actually paying for transgender men and women to actually go and get their name changed, to go through the legal process, mm-hmm. paying for their DMV applications and their driver's license fees, so that they could go through that transition without having to be financially impacting, because some people don't have the money to do that. But that is, that little bit of change means everything.
Yeah,
to
and
them,
don't forget, right? Something that's so important when it comes to changing your gender,
mm-hmm.
voting.
Mm-hmm.
You can be stifled from expressing your voice because you're stuck in a process such as this.
That's right.
Because your name is may not match your license, or the license may not match your mail, or past, you know, documents with doctor's offices or anything like that.
Which is a perfect segue. I know we should probably take a break, but that is literally the best segue ever to my story.
That's what I'm here for.
Which is the Colorado's out gay governor signed
I have it open right now.
pro-LGBTQ plus bills, ensuring that it's no longer the hate state. And I've been to Colorado. I love it out there. Mm. But this is so powerful. So
many
Jared Polis signed four different bills. Now, I'm going to go through the bills for you. Okay. I got to find them first. All right. One of the bills signed will be banning the gay and transgender panic defense, which we've talked about on the show before. Yes. I don't know if you want to elaborate about what that means.
It was the same when looking at essentially if a criminal was apprehended for murdering someone, they can say that the gay person that they murdered was coming on to them and they felt uncomfortable,
so
and it like triggered something
them.
In their minds. Exactly.
So what then the governor said, when somebody is targeted because of sexual orientation or gender, we want to make sure that the victim has a fair day in court. And this bill is going to ensure that there aren't biased arguments or bigoted arguments in our courtrooms here in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
So that's amazing. That is fucking amazing.
Because essentially, when you use the gay or trans panic defense, you turn the person who is on trial into the victim.
That's right.
And that's not going
to
fly anymore.
You know, they tried using, for example, when Matthew Shepard was murdered, the two suspects at the time, which we now know they are convicted murderers, tried to use that
gay
panic defense.
Right. Oh, yeah.
In the fact
and
that,
it was legal at that time, which is why they got away for some time.
And there are numerous states that have already banned, you know, Massachusetts being one of them. I believe Connecticut's
on that list. As well, yes.
And now, you know, Colorado, and there's a lot of other states that have already banned the gay panic defense as a result of that, because it's
bullshit.
You'll
be banned from the Bar Association if you attempt to use this.
Yeah, I don't want to be, you know, marginalized and say that I, you know, committed a hate crime because it was a panic defense. I freaked out because he came on to me. No, you committed a hate crime because you're a fucking bigot.
Exactly.
And that's the reality of the situation.
Exactly.
I think that's similar to the
stand your ground defense
in Florida.
Just thinking that with Zimmerman,
Zimmerman. Yes.
And when you look at that, he was pretty much exonerated for the first murder. And then
he thought he was untouchable.
Back in prison, or he's back on trial for aggravated assault charges and everything. This man is
She's
fucking criminal.
I know. It's been a couple of weeks. She needed to be back.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh my God.
She came back loaded.
That's right.
We had to take a break, and we only got through one of the bills.
Yeah, I know.
Another bill signed by Polis allows pharmacists to prescribe and dispense pre-exposure prophylactis. I'm going to say I said that wrong. Said it sort
prophylaxis.
Of right. Thank you. Or PrEP, which are medications taken to prevent the spread of HIV. The bill also requires insurers to pay for the PrEP and allows patients to seek PrEP without prior authorization from insurance companies.
Fantastic.
Which is amazing.
Which is great.
One way to combat the HIV an AIDS crisis.
100%, because a lot of people don't have a primary care doctor. They don't know where to go to get the medication. If there is a Planned Parenthood in their area, great. If there's not, they can now just go to a pharmacist. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there like a hashtag at some point, you know, AIDS and HIV free 2020 or something like that? Surprise, COVID came along. That shot, gone, done. But the thing is, medication like PrEP, for example, is an ideal thing to be able to combat something that has plagued us for the better part of over 35 plus years, right? And when you think about how effective PrEP is, and how essential it is for members of our community, which has been one of the highest affected communities when it comes to HIV and AIDS, to the point where they even gave it a name, naming it after the gay community, right? They called it GRID before it was ever HIV or AIDS. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Didn't they call it gay cancer first?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what Reagan called it. Or gay flu.
Gay-related immune whatever it was.
Deficiency.
And so it was called GRID before it was ever called HIV or AIDS. Just, you know, I can tell you that such a drug is it's not giving people a free pass to go out there and like bareback their way through half of like the Eastern Seaboard, but it's given them an opportunity to control their sexual health and to be able to be in charge of who they are and what they do and who they do that with. And that also allows people who have or are HIV positive to be able to engage in meaningful relationships without the fear of having to infect their partners should an accident happen.
Well, you also have to think about like low-income families. Mm-hmm. A lot of families don't, like, I was lucky, my white privilege, here we go, but I was lucky to grow up with a father that provided me health insurance until I had till I could get my own health insurance, right? But a lot of kids grow up without it.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids are not going to not sexually experiment. We all know that's the truth. Come on. And now they know they can go do this and get it, and they can pretty much get it for free.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
It so is absolutely
it's
amazing.
Not only going to stop the spread, but it's going to keep people alive, which is amazing. Because you don't, the cost for medical attention following the contraction of the disease is way higher than the prevention.
Of course. And, you know, but as we know, It could get pretty expensive for an individual who may not have health insurance to get PrEP.
Which is another reason why the governor signed a bill that would create a fund that people could use rebates for the state to receive HIV and AIDS medical assistance.
Now we're talking about Colorado specifically.
Correct. Specifically. Okay. So if they don't have insurance, but they need these medications, they can apply for funds that would then pay for them.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So it wouldn't put anybody like under the table.
Which is great. And I think it's important. You know, it would really make a difference because a lot of people don't realize that if you're a gay person or a transgender man or a woman or someone who's bi or agender or anything that represents who we are as a community, chances are you don't have, not many people do, supporting parents. And if you end up being out of your house, living at a friend's house or going here or going there, living under a bridge, you know, like a lot of kids have found themselves in situations in Utah, you don't have health insurance. And
even
so
even if you do have supportive parents, and there are cases that these kids don't have health insurance, mm-hmm. the families don't.
Yeah.
This is another example of how we can support people.
Agreed. And it would be amazing. So what's the fourth?
The last, but not least, ties it all together. So the last bill that the governor signed makes it easier for minors to correct their gender markers on their state documents, including birth certificates and driver's licenses.
Wow.
That's why I was like, oh my God, perfect segue.
That would be amazing. Okay, so do they have to be of legal age or can they do it if they're underage?
Well, it says minors.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
So it's going to make it
easier. Didn't I say minors?
Yeah, no, you did. Yeah. No, so I believe it's going to make it easier should a minor not have support of their parents to pursue this avenue to update their state credentials.
Gotcha. Well, that's amazing.
So what they're saying is that in order to correct the gender listed on documents, minors in Colorado used to have to show proof of medical transition. Now the statement for medical or mental health professional stating that someone identifies as a different gender is sufficient.
That's amazing. And that's going to make it a lot easier for people who are looking for that acceptance and or a place to be, a place to belong, to go through the process of changing that documentation. Mm-hmm. That's great. Mm-hmm. And they don't need their parents' permission to do that.
No, all they need is a mental health professional to say they identify this way.
That's amazing. That's awesome. All right. Well, ladies, that was, and gents, that was amazing information, a lot of stuff that we've just literally unpacked in that first half. We're going to take a break. So we're going to leave you with some music. And when we come back, we have more Dish, of course, our guest host, Jay Bear, here with us for all of you. We're going to leave you with some music. We'll be right back.
She was waiting by the back door, said, babe, we gotta leave town. Get your shit, get your suitcase, your dog, your guitar, cause we gotta go now, cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names, yes, they're coming, just to say. Well, I know you don't want to leave your life. You've had some blood and tears, little joy, little strife. They're coming, well, they're coming down the road. Yes, they're coming, truth be told.
knapsack full of judgment, hypocrisy and lies. And they're talking so much hateful bullshit, they've begun to gather flies. But they're coming, well, don't look them in the eyes. Yes, they're coming, no surprise. And with so much terror in our past, how are you so surprised it's come to bite you in the ass? Yes, it's coming, well, it's nipping at your heels. Yes, it's coming for the kill. Head out to the wastelands where we can change our names. Cause they're coming, well, they know our fucking names. Yes, they're coming just the same.
Welcome back from the break. That was Wastelands by Amanda Barrick. That is the title track to her debut album, which is releasing on the 31st of July. The album is called Wastelands. She was our guest last week. It is an amazing song. It is an amazing album. It is a little bit of folk country-ish, pop. No, actually, it's not pop. Sorry. My apologies. It's folk, spoken word. A lot of really good, great just sounds. Overall, it's a great album. I pre-ordered mine, so I got my four songs ahead of time. And the other six songs are going to release on the 31st, as I said before. But it's amazing. Check it out. Go get it.
And she's awesome.
And she's awesome. And also, she's the daughter of Linda Stay, which was also a guest of ours. If you haven't listened to that episode, you should, because it'll break your heart to hear this woman's story and how her daughter, Amanda, was able to do and be who she is as a result of what her mother did. Truly an amazing story. So anyway, go get the album. Welcome back. Hi, boys.
What up?
Hola.
So we've had, literally, we're running around trying to do things and break and trying to get ourselves composed. And we had a meeting, several. So that's a lot of tequila and drinks. We refreshed, and now we're back, and we're ready to go. So we have another story brought to you, of course, by our resident Canadian / Deutschland.
Deutschland.
Let's just call him Captain Moose-Knuckle.
Deutschland.
Captain Moose-Knuckle.
We haven't heard that in a long time.
It's been a very long time since we've heard that. Mm-hmm. So, Chris, what do you have for us? Tell us.
Well, I want to talk about the true president of the United States of America, Vladimir Putin, elected by...
That's actually not funny.
Yeah, it's actually not, but...
That's actually not funny at all.
But it is.
Yeah, I want to talk about Trump's fucking butt buddy.
Uh-huh.
Vladdy. That asshole.
Vladdy?
First of all...
Wait. He's got a fucking nickname.
Yeah,
Vladdy.
Yeah, Vladdy. First of all, not only did we see 2 years ago that Xi Jinping, the president of China...
Oh, she's coming on at us with a big word.
Oh, hell yeah. What she did was she did this some things. She eliminated term limits in China, effectively making herself...
A dictator.
Yes. For life. Uh-huh. For life. Now, Vladdy did kind of the same thing along with the Russian parliament, allowing, because this term was supposed to be constitutionally his final term, able to serve as president.
That's right.
Now, he had found a loophole before, because you weren't able to serve more than, I believe it was 2 or 3 consecutive terms. So what he did was he had stepped down. He had his handpicked guy, Medvedev, move as president. And
so
then
can
he
we
became...
pause for a second? I just want to say that this story is really important, and that all of our listeners really need to listen to this, because he is butt buddies with our president, and our president would not, I wouldn't put it past him to do something like this. So,
right.
Or attempt it at least.
Exactly, attempt it. It would be a coup against the the U.S. government.
We have an election on November 3rd that could be invalidated by actions taken by a president who's currently being influenced by a foreign dictator. Mm-hmm. So continue.
One of many. One of many. So what he did was he ended up. So again, he finished his constitutional term as president,
which was two, and then he became the prime minister.
Prime minister, and then put his puppet Medvedev as president, and mm-hmm. then after that term, went back to president, making Medvedev his prime minister. Now he has extended his term limits to where he can serve as president until the year 2036,
which is crazy.
Another 16 years of a totalitarian Russia.
And a lot of people in that government resigned as a result of this.
Absolutely.
Of this attempt.
I believe the whole parliament did.
Yeah. Actually, well, I wouldn't be surprised if we would say that he dissolved his government.
Pretty much. Right? Exactly.
Because we know he was behind this.
Yeah, it was like a forceful resignation of all these PMs. Anywho, so we know that... Vladdy is no fan of the LGBT community.
Dear Vladdy.
So why even call yourself a president?
Exactly.
Just go Vladdy. Back to king.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
King Vladdy.
He's czar. So, yeah, he's the czar.
He's trying to just go back to the
exactly
the time
or
where,
like premier. Yeah. Yeah. He's no different than the Soviet Union that he talks so down upon. Anyway, so we know he's no friend of our community. He's worked with his puppet master, Kadyrov in Chechnya, mm-hmm. and he's incited violence in Azerbaijan and Egypt and all these nations that really, truly just care to wipe our community off the face of the earth.
And I just want to point out, I want you to understand the impact that this man or his inactions have allowed someone like Kadyrov to literally go and find gay men and murder them. Literally wipe them off the face of this
earth.
And women.
Predominantly gay men, yes.
So if you're watching us on our live stream, this sign here that we have here says the USA must help Chechen LGBTQs. This is real. We have this hanging up here as a reminder that this was happening in a country being allowed to happen because he's like a sub king to King Vladdy,
mm-hmm.
Who allowed him to get away with stuff like this. And it was because of this that these two amazing human beings right here went to New York City. I wasn't able to go. And marched.
It's one of the reasons we went.
One of the reasons. And marched there to support the U.S. supporting LGBTQ members in Chechnya being murdered and slaughtered because of who they were.
Mm-hmm. And not to make light of the situation, but uh-huh. the march did not have mimosas, and I went.
And it was also like 12 miles. It was like a billion degrees.
I was like, I thought this was going to be short. Chris was like, nope. We literally marched Manhattan.
Yeah. But if I'm not mistaken, we did get a video the next morning of you saying, like, I want a mimosa.
No, that was in
that
D.C. Wasn't it?
That was in D.C.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, it was. When do I not want a mimosa?
It was the day after.
I was going to interject. You were saying he was like the sub king. I was going to say he's the Prince Albert.
Oh, yeah.
Double meaning.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. He's the ring on Vladdy's dick. All right. So let's get to what actually is happening. So we do know that there are gay purges going out through former nations of the Soviet Union. And we know that there is anti-LGBT propaganda laws that have been in effect since, I believe, 2012 in Russia mm-hmm. that Vladimir Putin staunchly supported. And many of people in the nation of Russia abide by and believe in, and they will actually target people violently of our community.
Think about protest artists, for example, like the Pussy Riots.
Pussy Riots, right? Exactly.
They got locked up because they were advocating for the LGBTQ community in Russia, and they became very famous as a result of their pushback against that government. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. So this new crackdown that Vladdy is promising is this author of the legislation proposed this week saying that the bill that she proposed will ban same-sex marriage, adoption by transgender people, and the recognition of same-sex unions that were registered abroad. So this is something that we've talked about when we've had our friend Tiberiu, believe, is he Romania?
He was from Romania. He's living in Spain right now.
Right. Yes. So we had Tiberiu talking from Romania. We had the plaintiffs who, not the plaintiffs, was it the plaintiffs?
Yeah, they were the plaintiffs.
Yeah, the plaintiffs for the EU
ruling
to make to recognize same-sex marriage.
But Russia's not part of the EU.
They're not part of the EU, but these are parts of the Eastern European sector that were once under Soviet rule. Yes. So these are still almost like little satellite nations under this communist nation that they like to say is somewhat democratic.
Whatever.
But that's a punch in the twat. Like, absolutely fucking not. So this bill ends to practice the marriage of persons of the same sex, including those who have changed their gender. So they're truly reaching out to make sure that same-sex unions will never be legalized, because there was a loophole, apparently. It was saying that same-sex unions are not recognized in Russia, but a loophole currently exists in the country's family code that has been used in the past to grant official recognition of the same-sex union registered abroad. This legislation proposed on Tuesday will close that loophole. So those who leave the Russian Federation to head to perhaps countries in the European Union,
like Sweden or any Sweden, other Germany, neighboring
France,
country.
The UK, well, not the UK, excuse me, assholes, to move out of those areas to get somewhat of get married, it will no longer be verified in the Russian Federation.
I think it's
fuck you, Putin.
I think it's important to note I want to bring it back home a little bit. So as of 2017, 151 gay and lesbian people have been extracted from the country of Chechnya.
It's not a country, but
province.
Territory, yeah. Province, exactly, yes.
44 of them were granted asylum in Canada. Guess how many in the United States?
Probably zero.
Seven?
Zero.
Oh, so, I was like, I was being hopeful.
So I also want to bring up, too, to bring it back home, that the U.S. Embassy in Moscow had flown a rainbow flag during the election as a sign of solidarity with the Russian LGBTQ plus community. Mm-hmm. President Trump has now forbidden flying rainbow flags on poles outside U.S. embassies or other government buildings without specific authorization.
They did it anyway.
No,
they didn't fly from flag.
The ban only applies to flagpoles, though, so the embassy suspended the flag from a line strung between two balconies overlooking the street.
If our viewers can see this right now, there is the American flag.
You got to go really close for them to see that.
Well, there's a picture of the American flag flying over our embassy in Moscow, and then, as Trish said, a rainbow flag is being presented hanging between suspended between two balconies. And that is really important to point out, because when we looked at Pride Month and when we looked at different things going on here on homeland U.S., there were different nations across the globe, I believe in the U.K., I believe in Germany, where they were displaying the Pride flags. And you know, President Trump, his butt buddy Vladdy, and his VP Mike Pence were totally against that.
100%. And it's so sad. And the reality is, seeing people in our embassies saying, well, fuck that, we're supporting not only our people back home, but the people that we're representing here, wherever they are, this embassy, and flying this flag is so freaking important. It's not only a stance for the LGBTQ plus community, but it's a stance against Vladdy's butt buddy.
That's right.
Trump. Donald Trump.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck and him. It's also important to point out the disgusting anti-LGBT quote-unquote propaganda in the Russian Federation. If you are an educator and you are either gay or you support the LGBT rights, you will be fired. You'll be removed. You'll most likely be beaten by your neighbors. Mm-hmm. You'll most likely be pulled out of your house and fucked with a fucking broom handle, as there was a documentary, I believe, that was premiered on Netflix a couple years back ago, showing the most disgusting and
it's
vile
disturbing.
Hatred. Yeah, yeah. And it's something that is sanctioned and called upon by the Russian Federation, their government, these people, the police will not step in to defend you. You are on your own.
That's right.
And that is why there are so many groups that are working to gain funding to get people out of the province of Chechnya and the Russian Federation to move them to the EU.
So to that, I wanted to highlight something that we found out or that we heard about in our discussion with Adafi Akporo, right? We had Adafi. He was a refugee from the West African nation of Nigeria. He came to this country. He established a safe haven for people that were seeking refugee status in the U.S. As a result of his experience and how he got to the U.S. And there were a couple of organizations that he had mentioned on here. The first one was Immigration Equality, which was out of New York City. There was also the web-based platform, which was available on iOS and Android court called Asylum Connect. We had the founder of the show on our show to talk about what that platform does and how it helps others. And of course, there was also Rainbow Railroad in Canada, which a lot of people, including people in Chechnya, people in the African nations that were seeking asylum, were able to actually get. Canada has been the leading nation allowing members of the LGBT community to seek asylum and come to this country.
Not just LGBT, I mean Syrian refugees as well.
Yeah, everyone.
Absolutely, yeah.
Kudos to Canada.
Seriously.
Always kudos.
Seriously.
I mean, when fucking Trump took office, we were like, can you adopt the Northeast for a while?
Like, seriously, right? Just take New England.
Even just borrow us for a little bit. Like, we'll be fine with it. Like, you can give us back later. But it's also important to look at the leadership that we had in the past. Obama was calling out different nations for practices such as these. He called out the Rwandan government. This is a government who has a history of genocide. He's called out the Rwandan government. He's called out the Democratic Republic of the Congo for their lack of human rights. And this is a leader that we had who stood up for humanity across the world. And then we have this person who doesn't give a damn about human rights, who doesn't give a damn about anyone but himself.
But the reality, what's crazy to me is, so I have another article up right now, and I'm looking at it, and I just think about the fact that they're doing, you know, honor killings. They're literally, you know, rounding people up and imprisoning them or torturing them or literally killing them. Mm-hmm. And I think about the fact that that could happen here.
Absolutely. It's possible. And, you know, you have to think about the fact that Trump is laying the groundwork for a revolt, right? For his base to actually have a means to be able to say, okay, well, this is the America that we want. We want Trump's America, and the rest of you go fuck yourselves, right? And it is absolutely possible that this could happen if we are not watchful and watching what we're doing, how we're doing it, how we're voting, turnout, going out and really expressing ourselves through the ballot box and making sure that come November 3rd, that we make our voices heard. That is the most important thing that we can do in this nation right now to avert going towards that direction.
And for those people that live in states like Connecticut, we were recently sent absentee ballot request forms.
Uh-huh.
Because of COVID-19. I filled mine out. I put it in the mail. But because I don't want to go to a poll, right? Make sure that you're checking your mail. Make sure that you get your absentee ballot. Make sure that you send it in, because it can literally change the way that this country functions. I mean, just talking about Colorado, that governor was voted in. That governor has now made four different bills pass in support of the LGBTQ plus rights. I mean, the people that you are choosing are the people that are going to change the way our country functions.
Right. And it is important that, yes, I'm a registered independent, but I typically, obviously,
so you can't vote in primaries.
Well, I'll change if I need to, just for that fact. But Charlie Baker of Massachusetts, Republican governor. Mm-hmm. Fantastic, though.
I'm not saying that it has to be Democrat.
Right, no, but I'm saying, like, vote your conscience. Like, don't be a blind Republican and just follow the president. because he's a Republican.
He's going to lead you over a cliff.
No.
Exactly.
I hear what Chris is saying, because like there is a world in which, like, I had a long conversation with somebody the other day, because I am registered as a Democrat because I want to vote in the primaries. But in reality, I'm not necessarily a Democrat, because there are some things about the Democratic Party that I don't agree with, and that's their inability to financially keep this country stable. But the Republicans are more fiscally responsible, and there are a lot of things that Republicans...
For the rich.
How are they doing, Trish?
Well, I mean, the economy is tanking right now because of COVID-19.
Yeah, because there's a president who won't acknowledge...
I'm not saying that I'm Republican. I'm saying that...
Oh, God, we know that.
What I'm saying is that there are parts of each part. That's why we need a third party, 100%. We need a middle ground. There is no middle ground. We have divisiveness on both sides, and that's why nothing happens.
Well, there is a middle ground. You can run as an independent party,
but you don't even get recognized.
No, there's no support behind it, right? Because
there is just not enough to
make a dent.
Yeah,
exactly. And unfortunately, so you're either right, left, and those that are in the middle.
Actually, to be honest, no, that's not. If you're right or you're left, you're probably not Republican, or you're probably not Democrat. You're more progressive, or you're more fucking Tea Party.
Or how some people would call crazy.
Well, that's what pisses me off. It's not about being right or left. It's about, like, I'm voting for this person because I think this person is the right person to, you know, run for office or run my state or run my town. But the reality is, you can have, you know, middle grounds. You can feel a certain way about certain things. It doesn't matter. You're making a vote that makes the most sense for you and for the future of wherever you are or your country.
Which is why the Democrats are banking on Joe Biden right now, because Joe Biden is capable of giving Donald Trump a run for his money in states such as Florida, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Those are the ones that they're banking on, that it's he can Uncle get back from Joe. Their last failed candidate.
It's Uncle Joe. Let's not go there. Before we keep going.
It's a fact.
Before we keep going, I'd like to give our guest host an opportunity. As a cisgender male in a heterosexual relationship, how important is...
His eyes. He's like, what is this bitch about to ask me?
Well, no. It's a very serious question. How important is it for the heterosexual community to identify and see issues in the LGBT community and vote accordingly to defend the rights of those that are don't have a mic, don't have a podium?
That's a loaded question.
Yes, it is. Go for it.
Well, I think for me, having family that family members related directly to me that are LGBTQ, also on my wife's side of the family, I think that a lot of the rights that this so-called president is trying to strip from the community is asinine.
But do you think that he's doing it visibly, or like, it almost feels like he's doing it under the radar?
He doesn't give a shit. He doesn't give a shit. He has that attitude because, and the way I see it, I'm white, I'm right. And that's it.
Right.
And that's his attitude.
In my opinion, I feel like he's doing it under the radar. Like, he's trying to make people, like, he's inciting his constituents in a way. But
some stuff, yes, but not always. He's very blunt about what he says, the way I see it.
But I feel like his constituents don't feel that way. They're like,
no, because they're blind. They're this the blind leading the blind, and they just because he's Republican and he's a so-called Christian, you know, male.
I threw up in my mouth for the third time.
But I think a lot of people can be led blindly. You know, I've done a lot of work in the LGBT community. Again, family members that are LGBTQ. Identified as a bisexual male.
Bitch, you better acknowledge the fact that you have really close friends that are LGBTQ too.
And a lot of my, my best friends.
I've known you for years.
Years. Over 15 years.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's difficult to say this or that sometimes because people's political views always vary. Do I agree with everything that President T is doing? I really don't like saying his name, honestly.
It's disgusting.
I don't.
It?
Also, I don't.
I think
They're very minimal. Yeah, they're very.
This is more Christian than Donald Trump. Yeah. Like
than Donald.
You back on it.
I said Donald.
Okay, just making sure.
I think his views are his views, and he's pushing it on everyone else, well, and the people that follow him want to follow him.
And it's not even his views. It really is because he's feeding to the base and he's following the word of Mike Pence. Because when you look at him calling out Black Lives Matter supporters, and you look at him praising Nazis and white supremacists, he's out there on the front lines. He's all about it. When it comes to standing up against people in our community, he hides behind his phone and he sends it out on Twitter. He does not stand up and he doesn't have the fucking balls to stand up and call us out. Yeah. He won't stand up there and say that transgenders have no rights. He won't stand up there and say that gay people have no rights.
True.
He will hide behind his phone. He will just, the only time he'll go out there is when he can praise his fucking Nazis. That's the only time he'll stand up.
Truth on a stick. So one more question for you, because I'm really intrigued and I want to know, if you have a message to the heterosexual community that is at home with their, you know, cisgender wives, in your case, and their children, what is your message to the straight community in regards to the rights of LGBTQ people and why they should support our efforts to be allowed to be human, to be allowed to be us?
I think that, and it comes down to that exact same phrase, be human. Treat a person like a person. There should be no question whether they're gay, bi, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. As long as a person is being treated as a person, that's all that matters. I've done a lot of work within the LGBTQ community. I was also a at one point.
Move forward a little bit so we can see you in the camera a bit.
Sorry.
There you go.
I'm hitting the corner. Sometimes, I've done a lot of work in the LGBTQ community. I've been involved. I was a youth counselor for the New Haven Youth Center for a couple of years with a group of people. Great people. We ran the youth center group for quite some time. And that brought me so much joy. My wife and I were both co-directors, you could say, along with a bunch of other people that were in the LGBT community. And I think the main thing is just treating a person like a person.
I want to
show love.
I want to follow up Tom's question with you specifically, because I think that a lot of, and we talk about it on the show all the time, it's about that one-on-one conversation, but I feel like a lot of people that are heterosexual and or cisgender or whatever you want to call it, I feel like they're uneducated, and that's why they spew hate.
Yes.
Or they don't feel the need to connect and support. I don't know if there's anything that you would, as a previous educator, as somebody who's worked with kids, as somebody who's worked with probably families as well, what would you say to an individual who is uneducated about the LGBTQ plus community that you want to, and you want them to find a way to, enlighten themselves for support?
Well, I have... Because of my involvement with the youth group, I have had family members that have reached out because either a child or a family member has come out as LGBTQ and they don't know how to handle it or how to go about it and be supportive. So sometimes it's just a matter of stepping back, and sometimes coming from a Puerto Rican background, religion is a big factor for us. So for us, mainly it's like Jesus, Mary, and then everything else comes after that. That's the way I was raised.
Yeah.
And, sometimes that is an issue. Sometimes it's like, hey, I want to be supportive. I want to show that I do, want to, make this person feel loved, but I don't want to go overboard, I guess, sometimes. You know what I mean? I think it's a hard decision for a lot of parents.
How would you go about combating the... I mean, you said, what is it? Jesus, Mary, and then everything else.
Yeah.
But you've dealt with that. you yes. deal with the everything else. You are a huge supporter. How, I mean, and we look at the Bible and we look at scripture and we know that it's interpreted by man, right?
Yes.
And we know that people use it as a weapon. How do you then have that conversation with somebody who is not necessarily using it as a weapon, but using it in the sense like it's their daily life. It's yes. their Declaration of Independence. It's their constitution.
I deal with it on a day-to-day basis. I have family members that are definitely ongoing churchgoers, and I know when the bill passed so that we can have same-sex marriage in Connecticut, I was at a family member's home, and they were saying that in the news, and my thing was like, yes. And they were like, no, that's for men and women only. And I was like, that's because you don't know who you live with.
Mm.
You don't know who your relatives are. You don't know your family the way you should know your family.
That's right.
Before you make those comments.
That's right.
So even small comments like that, because the family member, my wife and I have always been very free-spirited. We've always been very open. Her sister, her brother are both of the LGBT community. So my younger brother, I'm one of 11. I'm from a large clan. My father and mother didn't believe in TVs, and my father just was a musician. So let's leave it at that.
He was a busy butterfly. Yeah, busy bee.
But my thing is, you know, a lot of people don't realize you can be making comments in front of relatives that feel a certain way and will not tell you because of your beliefs. Me, if you ask me, I'm straightforward with you.
So basically what I'm hearing you say is like, you're telling people, get to know your family.
That's mm-hmm. it.
Get to know the people that you yeah. are surrounding yourself with.
Exactly.
And when you give them an opportunity for them to be honest with you and do that in a way that is safe, right?
Yes. Circle of trust.
There is no, we're going to say, okay, we're going to have a family get together, right? We're going to have a conversation. And whatever's said at this table, know that it is a safe space for you to say what you want to say, and we'll have a conversation about it and hash it out.
Have you seen the Will Smith's family's Red Table Talk?
Yes.
Oh, is that where you're going with?
Yes. Okay. So, all right. So sort of kind of like that, right? And so that's how you end up with entanglements. So, but I have to tell you, listen, it takes a lot for someone like Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith to let something like that out into the stratosphere. They're celebrities. They're human. In the end, they're human. And you go through this process of living life, and life is not perfect. And I'm sorry if y'all thought that, you know, because it was Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith, and they have gorgeous, beautiful, amazing children, and that everything looked, you know, roses and violets and
not everything really else. What I was talking about, but
what I'm saying is that, you know, when you look at their show, The Red Table, right? Is that what is
Red? I think it's called Red Table Talk, something like that.
Red Table Talk, and what they do is they say, okay, we're going to talk about something. It's going to be laid on the table. This is a safe space. I can't retaliate against you. I can't hold you.
They hold people accountable. They it's a real conversation. Like, well, yes, the show.
But it also provides an opportunity for you to be truthful
and educated
about what's going on in your nuclear family mm-hmm. unit. But it also gives you an opportunity to voice something and know that although it might cause turmoil, you still presented it in a space in where it was supposed to be safe, and that you're going to try to work it out in a way that typically you get pissed, you right. start throwing plates, you start doing this.
So the reason I brought that up was because I actually this morning was laying in bed. I love Jada Pinkett Smith. I love Will Smith. I love their family. I think mm-hmm. they're amazing. I do watch their show. Her show, really. It's hers. But Will, I guess, had called the producers and was like, we're doing one at home. I'm making all the family come. This is an emergency family meeting. Mm. And so before they started the show, they all gathered up in this little circle. You know, all three kids, the grandmother, well, I don't even want to call her grandma. She looks better than I do.
She's amazing.
That is kidding. True.
I mean, like, she looks amazing. And Jada and Will. And mm-hmm. they all held hands and they said, okay, look, we're going to do this. I have to talk to you guys about something. But this is going to be what we used to do when we were when you guys were kids. This is going to be a circle of trust. They all held hands. And then Will said, well, what do we do to initiate the circle of trust?
Mm-hmm.
And Jaden was like, somebody swears. Because when they were kids, they weren't allowed to swear. But in the circle of trust, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
So Jaden literally said a swear word. And then the circle of trust was initiated. And then, like, all holds were barred. Like, they were just, like, everything was on the table. I mean, and that's the type of thing that I feel like everybody needs to do with their family. I think
to
you
release.
Need to give every... Mm-hmm. Like, you need to give your kids, you need to give your partner, you need to give your friends the space to say, all right, we need to have a circle of trust today, and whatever is said is going to be said, and we're not going to hold it against each other. We'll talk about it,
yeah,
but we're not going to hold it against each other.
Right. And I think that's amazing. And going back to what you're saying is, you know, you're literally telling us one of the most important things as a heterosexual person, if you're in a heterosexual relationship and you have a child that may be part of the LGBT community, is to know your family, right? And the only way you can do that is by communicating.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you can do that is by having a conversation and sitting down, maybe around the dinner table. Sometimes, you know, you might lose your appetite. That happens. But you have to have that conversation.
Just ask questions, not how was your day at school?
Don't make accusations.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
And again, heterosexual? No. Bisexual? Yes.
Well,
I am in a heterosexual relationship because the person I'm with is the person I chose to be with.
Yeah.
Had that been different, then it would have been the other way around. But that's who I'm with.
I did bend over in front of you earlier. Sorry about that.
She was going to tear it up.
No. Not at all.
No, but no.
It's like a fucking flamethrower. Yeah.
But the message is
getting to know your family. I have four girls. I have four daughters.
Your mic says my name.
Yes.
I was listening.
Like,
guess one.
Yeah.
What is I fucking demoted your Christmas tune now?
You haven't been here in years.
Yeah, you were demoted.
Apparently.
Apparently,
so, I have four daughters because Christmas tune has no children.
No children. but my point is, I have four daughters. Two of which experimented. We weren't critical about it. It is what it is. If you choose to be with someone of the same sex, then good for you. It wasn't. I remember my youngest, which her and I are somewhat the closest, but always at odds.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah. You know, because I've raised her since she was 4 months old. And when she told me, I'm kind of like talking to someone, and I was like, oh, good for you, you know? She's like, that is not what I expected you to say. And I was like, why? You know?
It's like pulling the shotgun out right away. Yeah.
It's like, it's hypocritical of me to judge anyone else. I'm in a relationship with my wife because that's who I love. Granted, I met her when I was really young. That's a whole other story.
How long have you been together with your wife?
Shit.
You better get this right, because she'll kill you, and I'll help her.
He's 31 years. I met her when I was 15.
31 years.
So I've basically have raised.
It's a lifetime.
The girls.
It's a lifetime with your family.
Yeah, and we've had our challenges and definitely our struggles. When I finally realized this is probably not what I need or what I want. And she allowed me the time to figure myself out.
Mm-hmm.
For a person to be able to do that in a relationship or a hetero relationship, and then still be like, okay, let's talk about this and see where it goes, it's not very common.
But again, difficult. It goes back to the importance of allowing yourself to know your family, know who you're with, have a circle of trust,
yes.
Be able to come together and have a conversation and then find the best solution for everyone.
Yeah,
right?
But also, like, yes. I think that your family too, I think we need to acknowledge family differently than, you know, people generally think about it, because your family is not just your nuclear immediate family.
Correct.
I'm talking like there may not be an LGBTQ plus person within your nuclear family, but for example, I'm super gay. We all know that I'm super gay.
Super.
And I have a Baptist minister uncle in my family, and he took the time to get to know me, and that may change how he preaches and how he treats people in his Baptist church.
Yes.
But that is what that. It's not just about nuclear family. It's about family. It's about the people that are in your life.
Yes.
It's about the people that, you know, you walk the path with. And I think that family, that term, what family is, needs to grow, because I think family, I mean, this is one of my families.
Yeah. I mean, my thing also was growing up with, my mother raised us, basically. I mean, I came from parents that were, you know, not together, not married.
His dad was a musician.
My dad was a musician. He was also very macho. There was no such thing as having a gay son.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that, in part, that kind of kept me from being who I was, unfortunately. Meaning that kept me from being true to myself.
Because you don't
walk around, you know, with a sign saying, hey, I'm this, I'm that. It's just, it is what it is. You like what you like, and that's that.
That's right.
But for my younger brother, whom my dad was raising, you know, he had a lot of mannerisms that weren't quote unquote manly. Mm-hmm. And my father did tell him, I don't have any gay sons, you know, but then again, you know, you're talking about parents that were raised. In an age where that wasn't. That wasn't known of. And not to excuse it, but he wasn't accepting of it. And when I did finally, you know, talk to my younger brother, and I was like, hey, listen, you know, are you gay? I meant that in a more of a supportive way. Mm-hmm. But his reaction was like, oh, no. Oh, no. Yeah. I'm into women. I like the puss. And yeah. I was like,
oh, God.
And I was like, I was like, girl, my gaydar is beyond red at this point. It's purple.
Yeah, I know that I know we need to wrap up the show, but just one last thing. I think that it's important what you were saying, like you had said, are you gay? I think it's important to provide the space, but not prod the answer.
Yes.
And yeah, that's really all I have to say.
That's no, amazing.
Definitely. And that's exactly what I did. He kind of backed up away from it. And I was like, you know, when you're ready to talk, we'll talk.
Right, exactly.
We'll talk. I just want you to know that you this have someone that's willing to talk with you and provide you with some safe.
That's incredible.
Communication.
Yeah.
You better work, queen. You better work. All right. Well, listen, we've been having an amazing time, but obviously all good things have to come to an end. So we're going to sort of slip our way through some of the few things that we have to do to close the show. So I'm going to toss it over to our girl, Trish, over here.
Yeah.
So that she can get a timer from Chris on the other side.
Oh, yay. I'm back.
For Mama Kim's Minute, of course. And if you're not familiar with who Mama Kim is, she is our amazing supporter who gives us everything and everything that we ever have, including that big flag right there on the wall.
You see those
two little gay penguins up there being hugged by our mascot Dookie. I got my own miniature version of Fitzgerald
with a corgi butt.
That's right.
And she made me a little bear with a Canada sweater.
And it's amazing.
I love it.
Thank you, Mama Kim.
And she also sent us like keychains. This is one that represents
the transgender community. She also made a unicorn for Elsie, which I'm not going to say that. Where can I order one? But where can I order one?
So, Mama Kim, you know we love you. We know you. So, you know anyway, we love you.
So this is her minute. This is a summary of stories that she sends us on a weekly basis for us to choose and decipher and pick from. But these are the stories that are worth mentioning. Trish is going to give them to you, and we'll put them on tonight's post.
All right, everybody. So here is Mama Kim's minute. Chris, are you ready?
Timer.
And go.
All right. Number one, will mainstream media finally start talking about the genocide of LGBTQ plus people in Chechnya? Please.
Thank you.
Two, Naya Rivera's profound queer legacy from Glee.
That's right.
Number three, Ricky Martin cried like crazy after coming out and has been happy since. Number four, Donald Trump's niece says she didn't come out to her grandmother, who called Elton John a...
That word.
Mm-hmm. The F word. for gay people. Number 5, transgender women wins election for the first time in West Virginia and Louisiana.
Yay!
So that's your Mama Kim's Minute, everybody.
So those stories will be posted on tonight's post. You can click on those links, read them for yourself, and of course, you know, just do all that good stuff. So now it's time for our Gay Talk Term, of course, brought to you by
GayRealEstate.com.
And as usual, because we do have a guest host tonight, we're going to let our guest host read our Gay Talk Term for today.
He's going to put his spectacles on.
Jay Bear, what is our Gay Talk Term for tonight?
Jewelry.
Tell us what it is.
So as it states here is male genitalia. Take out your jewelry, love bug. I want to inspect your carrots or veins or vein.
Oh, ooh, nice.
That sounds like something I would totally do.
Yeah, I like some veiny jewelry. Take it out.
Let me see. I want to see all of it. Good.
That works. We can move on.
Yes, the carrots work. All right. So
he'll be like, I'll pass. Mm.
So just remember, if the carrots aren't big enough, it's not happening.
12 carrots or more for Tom.
Oh, she is
no, that's me, honey.
Yeah. I was like, hello, are you kidding me?
Honey,
I'm literally typing something out. And I'm like, wait, 12 carat Tom? What? Me? No,
I'll look at it this way. I'll take anything after COVID. 2 carats, 6 carats, 8. Doesn't matter.
Wait, did I talk about last... Oh, I know we have to close it out. Did I talk about that...
God damn it,
the
Trish.
The post, though, with the person that was like, oh, well, I proposed to you with paying off your $70,000 student loans.
No, you didn't, but go ahead.
Okay, really quick. So this person proposed to this other person. It was a post. It's probably not real. With a receipt saying that I paid off the $70,000 student loans. Will you marry me? And then the post said, is this woman a blank for wanting a ring as well? A, reasonable. B, a bitch. C, you know, whatever. D, whatever. And I was like, obviously, she's A, reasonable.
Why was she reasonable?
Because, one, I didn't ask you to pay off my student loans.
So I still want my ring.
You did that. You had $70,000 to pay off my student loans. You have money to buy me a ring. Buy me a ring, bitch. But, yes, I'll marry you. Hello, reasonable. Sorry. Okay.
She lives in a different world.
It's so good to be back.
Right? You pay off $70,000 of my school loan, bitch, I will suck your dick.
I did not ask you for that. I asked you for 2 carats or more. That's it.
Well, now it's 12.
All right, Chris, take it away.
All right, Christopher.
My turn?
Yes.
So we're going to talk about On This Day in Gay History, brought to you, of course, by
GayRealEstate.com.
On this day in gay history, when? July 20th, 2015, in Ohio.
State of Ohio.
That's right. The first same-sex adoption in Lucas County. Gina and Joanne Jakeway adopted their daughter, Devin Carrie Jakeway, making it the first same-sex adoption in Lucas County after the Supreme Court's decision on June 26th.
So Ohio is the Buckeye State? Is that right? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. I don't know. That's great. Amazing.
Yeah. Isn't that right? Hoosiers? Oh, no, that's Iowa.
And to think, so here we are. That was 2015. We're now in 2020. And we have a president who's actually actively seeking to stop people or members of the LGBT community from adopting.
Yeah, no, he's children. A dick, but I got to pee.
Yeah, same.
Who needs love? All right, well, listen, thank you all for joining us. If you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser. As soon as our episodes are published, you can also support us on Patreon, which allows you, our subscribers, and our listeners to support the show with a monetary donation. Those donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more.
Give us money.
We'll take it.
Okay. Nice. All right. So next week, super excited. Again, it's going to be all about the dish. Will I be here, though? The world may never know.
Oh, God.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'll probably be here.
Yeah, all right, later. Mr. Owl.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to our guest host, Jay. Always you, wonderful guys. Seeing you. And thank we are you so glad me. You joined us tonight. Welcome to the Gay Talk family. She's You're so always loud. Welcome. And it is my favorite part because don't forget, you can get your discount for the Future Method today. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STDs. The first of its kind, doctor-developed formula that gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. And now you can use code GAYTALK20 for 20% off, valid for one purchase or one subscription or prescription per person.
clean that hole.
Clean your booty hole.
Christopher?
Safely. Can we please put a rubber on this?
Yes please.
It's time. Haven't touched one in so long, and I won't in the future. All righty, ladies and gentlemen, as always.
He's in a relationship.
Yes. Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, as always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gaytalk 2.0, Instagram, Gaytalk 2.0, Twitter at Gaytalk20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, don't fuck it up.
Alright, well listen, if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab located at the top of your web browser. There you can leave comments, you can suggest topics, you can submit a question for the cast or an individual host. You can also call us on our phone number. We can answer any questions
you fucked
may
it
have.
Up.
I did not.
You had one
on,
job.
On live
a little
on air.
Stutter, a little stutter.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
The phone number
difficulties.
I had caught
that
my
was
breath.
Literally the perfect sign. You guys were just going back and forth. He's just like, fuck it.
I'm just going to let it go. All right, so you can call us. It's 334-GAY-TALK. Or if you need those digits, it is 334-429-8255.
Alabama.
Oh, Alabama. That's right. Our phone number is from Alabama.
Montgomery, Alabama. Yeah. Don't forget shit.
Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Apparently, Chris is on a roll
tonight. You know, we actually stream
we
at
started
6
like,
o'clock.
P.m. Yeah.
Yeah, at 6 p.m.
You Eastern fucked it Standard up again. Time. You had one job.
Because you keep freaking driving me bananas. I love the fact that he's back. Anyway, so it's 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream, except for today it was fucked up, by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night.
Bye!
Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.